The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people. Smart politics for stupid times. Welcome to the Unprecedented Podcast with John Aravosis and Cliff Schechter.
Heck out of you, but this is John Aravosis with my co-host Cliff Schechter, and we will be sitting in for Leslie every Monday for the next few months and hosting the Unprecedented Podcast during this hour. Cliff, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, John. It's like we're giving them two for the price of one.
To what? Of us or shows?
I don't know.
It sounded good.
We're doing Leslie's show. We're doing our show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Only doing
okay.
One of them, dude.
I thought you meant like both of us were worth two Leslies or I don't know.
No. Like combined, we're worth maybe a quarter of a Leslie.
Okay, I was going to say a quarter of a Leslie, yes.
At our best, really. That's on a really good day. So.
Oh, my.
Well, anyway. In any case, folks,
we'll be here for a couple months. We're very excited. We're going to be doing our Monday podcast during Leslie's hour. So yay, hooray.
Yay, hooray.
With Mark, our wonderful genius producer, who means I don't have to produce our episode now once a week for the next 3 months. Yay!
Sweet, we get to make Grimaldi do it.
Producer Dad.
You are a good dad. I was saying that before the show started. You're a very good dad.
That's
But you are. You're like the nice dad we never had. And I don't mean to knock our dads, but you're like that, you know, isn't a mean bone in his body dad.
Thank you.
Right? You can tell he's nice but firm.
That is very, exactly. Honestly, that is a compliment that I very much appreciate. Thank you.
There you go. Sure. Although we're calling you a dad and you're like half my age, but that's
yeah. Fine. Hey, I'll take it.
Daddy.
That just tells you about the maturity level.
Exactly. And speaking of maturity level, that's because I'm a stable genius, Cliff. So, that's, you know.
I thought it was because you were like really smart.
I'm a very stable genius who's like really smart.
Yeah. It's interesting because we're of course talking about Donald Trump's tweeting in response to the book Fire and Fury and everybody's takes on the fact that he's probably not what you'd call mentally stable. And he what became the big thing is the stable genius line, which he threw out there, that I'm a very stable genius, after saying a bunch of other, you know, diarrhea of the mouth in his Twitter feed. But I like the I'm like really smart better. Yeah. I couldn't believe that that's not the one that went bigger, because he took the time to actually put the word. I mean, we all say things in Valley Girl speak when we speak and say like, but he took the time in what he was writing to actually say, I'm, quote, I'm, comma, like, comma, really yeah. smart. Like, I mean, he made sure the like was in there, you know?
It's like entering
Exactly.
Type
UH. He thinks, it's just another part of the genius of Donald Trump, is he thinks written English and spoken English are exactly the same thing.
Well, somebody on Twitter was saying they think he may be using some voice-to-typing thing.
Oh, I bet. That would explain that.
Actually,
really
that would explain consensual consent. What the hell did he write? Oh, God. I forgot what word he was going for, but he wanted to say consensual.
Well, one of the genius columnists, Michael Goodwin, I say that, of course, completely sarcastically, at the New York Post, who wrote a column where it wasn't like it was a compliment of Trump. He basically was writing almost, it was like the id or... you know, something of that sort of the Trump voter, many Trump voters last, you know, during the election cycle 2016, which is, he may be bad, but at least he's not as bad as Hillary. And essentially, right. Michael Goodwin was writing that, which was, he's not great. He's actually, you know, done some bad stuff, but at least it's still better than Hillary. So he's been a consequential president. And so Trump grabbed that and ran with, and it turned out saying he was a consensual president, which sadly, whether it's bankruptcies, women, or anything, I don't think anything's ever been consensual in Donald Trump's life.
No.
So, you know, that was the latest, you know, unprecedented, if you will, or kafefe, or of the many other wonderful things that he's tweeted where he's misspelled or gotten the wrong word or just plain shown himself to be what he's called in Fire and Fury, which is moron, idiot, and other things that we're not allowed to say on FCC-controlled radio.
Well, you know, one of the other little things that came out this morning regarding all of this, or maybe last night, was that Trump's official, and this won't surprise people because I think we all had a gut feeling this was going on, but Trump's official schedule has now shrunken where it doesn't start on weekdays until 11 or 11:30 in the morning. And then he, of course, every day he's done by, actually, which I should have told you, Mark, what I wanted you to get was the, my favorite little thing from Wizard of Oz was the Munchkin song when they sing, we get up at 12, off to work at 1, take an hour for lunch, and then at 2, we're done. Jolly good time. And if you think about it, it means like literally nothing happened. If you're going, if you get up at 12, off to work at 1, hour for lunch, then at 2, you're done. That's what Trump does. But he's not working. Now, what this brings back...
He's a very stable genius during that time.
He's a very stable... Well, no, what, I mean, you and I talked about this before, Cliff. What I think is going on is John Kasich, your governor in Ohio there, Republican, far-right Republican who has decided to act very nice and sweet lately and caring, even though he's not. And he was, during the campaign, he said he was asked by Donald Trump's son to be vice president to Trump and was told, no, 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 you're going to be like no other vice president in history. You will be in charge. You know what's coming. You will be in charge of domestic and foreign policy. And Kasich said,
is there any other kind of policy?
He goes, well, what the hell is Trump going to be doing? Well, he'll be busy making America great again. But if you put it aside... Well, putting aside, I mean, the idiocy of all of that, right? If you think of that, that's exactly what he's doing. He's golfing all the time. When he's at work, he doesn't even start, you know, work until noon practically because he's sort of offshored the entire job to Pence and, you know, Stephen Miller and all the other alt-right.
Well, sure, the Making America Great Again is a reference to, I think, if I'm correct, giving rallies to large adoring crowds of dumb people, tweeting stuff out, and playing golf, because I think those are the only three. I mean, in all honesty, oh yeah, and watching 10 hours of TV a day. I think those are pretty much the only things he does. So I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, I'd like to. It's sort of a joke too, but I think between watching Fox News, playing golf, you know, going to these rallies now and again, just so he can have people scream how much they love him from a bunch of mouth breathing double digit IQ. I could go on, but I won't. You know, that's what he does. I mean, the funniest thing was when he sent out that tweet about on Christmas about something about how hard, how he was taking the day off and be right to work the next day. And then reporters started counting how many days it took him. He played golf either 8 or 9 days in a row after that.
Right.
So that tweet was only up. It only actually had value about 2 weeks later. That's when he was getting back. I mean, he doesn't do much anymore. And he seems to have the same schedule that I had in college, which should be worrisome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this goes back to the he's losing his mind thing, which, you know, I think
apparently,
he is.
Well, I mean, a lot of people around him have said this to reporters and said this to Michael Wolff, who wrote the book. But other reporters have also reported the same thing that, you know, I mean, the Axios guys said that they, in fact, had heard the same things from people around Trump, that his own staff were like, he's not really qualified to be here. We don't really know what he's doing. There's no sort of final authority on anything, which is how Michael Wolff was able to write that book, because all he had to do is have Trump not say no. He didn't actually have to have him say yes, and then he just sort of showed up.
Well, did you see what Seb Gorka did today? He kind of screwed up, and Maggie Haberman at the New York Times caught him. Gorka wrote an op-ed for The Hill, which has become kind of a shadow of itself. It used to be a very good inside Washington publication.
It's kind of like a place for dumb right-wingers to dump columns they can't get into the Washington Post or
and
Politico.
Gorka wrote this piece saying, you know, of course, I knew better. I was told to cooperate with him, and I said no. But what Maggie noted was, okay, Gorka just admitted that Wolf was there officially, that Wolf got approval at the highest levels, and that senior staff was told to cooperate with Wolf. So it's not what Trump was claiming. This book was not some, how did he get here? Who did he get permission from? That senior Gorka screwed up, which was kind of funny considering the whole piece is, you know, classic, arrogant, you know, English Nazi accent.
Fake PhD and everything else that is said.
So that was interesting, I thought. And then I know we've got a break coming up, but I was thinking after the break, we could chat a little bit about Stephen Miller, who, speaking of fake Nazis, or maybe I shouldn't say fake Nazis, who knows?
Nazis aren't sure that they actually are things that Nazis aren't supposed to be.
I think there's a lot of things Stephen Miller isn't sure about, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I know, we're on that FCC-controlled thing. We got to be nice.
All right, well, why don't we take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk a little bit about droopy eyes himself, large forehead Steve Miller.
Riff raff.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE.
We can help at 12 and start to work at 1. Take an hour for lunch and then at 2 we're done.
Jolly good fun!
Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Cliff Schechter. I'm here with John Aravosis. We are the Unprecedented Podcast. We're also sitting in for Leslie Marshall for the next few months. Next 3 months. I think John's singing.
I'm doing Wizard of Oz in the background to go with our intro.
I bet you all didn't know. Also, on top of everything else, what a wonderful singing voice John has.
Exactly. I'll stop. Now I get so excited with the Wizard of Oz.
John's very excitable.
Speaking of very excitable.
Yeah, so before we get into that, John, what can people do if they want to subscribe to the Unprecedented Podcast?
They can go to patreon.com/unprecedentedpodcast, and there you can find our free episodes, but also our premium episodes, which are pretty much every other episode. And for a $5 a month subscription or more, you can get access to the proverbial, what is it, large mocha or venti or whatever at Starbucks. You can get access to all of our past shows and all of our premium episodes. So that's really good.
And I don't know if John said this, but it immediately makes you cooler when you do it.
Very much so. Yes.
If you are weighing, should I do it? Should I not? Just make sure that's put in there.
You'll get dates. Your hair will look better. Your skin will clear up.
And I actually have to say, as someone who produces a lot of talk radio and podcasts and is always listening to TuneIn and iTunes, I really do learn a lot. And I'm all over Twitter and the news because of the difference between just reading a headline and then someone, really explaining it in a way that makes sense, but also is interesting. And I know it's like, oh, I work with them. But honestly, I mean, I think for those who listen to like Pod Save America, and a lot of other progressive radio or even just radio in general, I think it's definitely worthwhile. I mean, people should check it out, try it out even for a month. I mean, and I think honestly, people after that will probably stick with it. But hey, like for 1 month, that's, what I'm saying? Or, just one subscription, give it a shot.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks,
you're
man.
Welcome. You guys are great.
Don't worry, dude. The check's in the mail.
Oh, and yeah. We go. It's great.
To keep harping on ourselves, but that's one of the things I like about Pod Save America, and I think Cliff and I try to do the same thing, is there's a lot of podcasts out there. I think we're one of the only ones where it's actually political people who have spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C. in a good way, meaning we know how the town works. We know how to get things done. So that and we haven't really been. We've worked with the establishment, but we're not. God knows where. I mean, I've been a gay activist for 20 years. I'm hardly. The idea that I'd be establishment is like, whoa, what happened there?
We know them. We have friends among them. We've worked with them. There's some good folks there. There's also some not so good folks there. But we never became of it.
Yep. So I think we know both. We're in any case. We don't want to harp on it, but I think what makes a good podcast, which the Pod Save guys are as well. They were White House guys, but they were normal good people, so that they could actually on the outside help us figure out what the hell's going on. Which
so we hope you come check it out. Now I think we have to talk about Droopy Eyes Steve Miller.
Droopy Eyes Stephen Miller. So Miller, who we've talked about on our show a lot, who's Southern California far right lunatic,
Santa Monica Jewish. Kind of effeminate guy who hates people from
closeted
Santa Monica
heterosexual
and effeminate. You figure that out, folks. It's kind of like David Clark putting on a cowboy hat and attacking African Americans. There's a lot of people who just seem to hate themselves in today's Republican Party.
Yes.
But I digress.
Exactly. Kind of a closeted heterosexual in my mind, too, which is my term I use for putatively straight guys who you never see with girls, and if you met in a bar, you'd say, hey, you're so gay, but that's okay. But hey,
the dar, if you will, goes up.
My dar, and I do have the dar, being the gay, being the honorary gay on the show. But in any case, putting aside my gay dar's breaking when I see Stephen Miller, Miller goes on. So one of the things the Fire and Fury book that pissed off Trump so much said was that Stephen Miller had zero experience. He came in at like 32 years old in the White House, had very little political experience, very little legislative experience, very little communications experience. And Steve Bannon decides that Miller is going to write the Muslim ban executive order that happened early in the administration. Miller didn't know what to do, so he Googled how to write an executive order.
How we do everything these days, I'm going to go to space. I should Google it. I need to have an operation on my knee. Google it.
Seriously,
he Googled
it. How do you solve the North Korean crisis? Exactly. Go to Google.
you know, if Kushner's not taking care of it.
The thing is, again,
and I hate, you know, but I do feel I have to say this as somebody who's done some writing, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to make myself sound like a big deal. I'm not, but writing is not just you put words on paper. It's an actual thing you do where there's a sort of craft to it. And I've seen what he's produced. It's not writing. And they could not have hired him and said, this guy is a writer, so he can write speeches and ghost op-eds and put together policy papers. I mean, what it said in that book, which seems to be pretty much everything I've seen, is he does everything in bullet points. I mean, there's monkeys that can do that, too. So I'm not really sure why he's there, but he's there.
So I just wanted to jump in, Cliff, because I was I rambled too much at the beginning of the segment, and I didn't realize we've got like 2 minutes to a hard break, and I wanted to get this in because this is probably the funniest part of the show. So I'm going to try to get this in, but Cliff, you are in charge of looking at the clock, and if I get too close, cut me off, and we are going to finish this. We will finish this after the break because it's the funniest damn thing. So Miller, the White House decides, which means Trump's decides, to put Miller on CNN this weekend with Jake Tapper on the Sunday show. And all of us are racking our brains going, are you insane? Like, Miller's just, he's an ass. I mean, he's a jerk. So anyway, Miller goes on. And of course, filibusters Jake, won't answer any questions, starts doing what
Jake
he
Tapper,
did to Jake Tapper, yep. Started doing to Jake what he did to CNN's Jim Acosta a couple months ago when, during a press conference that Miller was like hosting at the White House, he did this fake, you know, you have offended me, you have offended the American people. He did the exact same thing to Jake, which means it was a setup. It's one of the things he does is he talks for a couple minutes with you and then goes, listen to what you said. And bottom line is Jake finally had to kick him off the show. He literally pulled the mic metaphorically and said, you know what, I've inflicted you on my viewers long enough. This is, you're not talking. So, well, we didn't know until after the show that Miller refused to leave the set. And they actually had to call security to get him out of there because he sat at the table with Jake and wouldn't leave. It's the middle of the show now. Right? This is how bad it is.
He's a mature and stable genius.
Yep. Now, actually, we are going to hit our break shortly, so I may not even...
Why don't we after the break?
It's so damn
actually
good.
Read for all of the listeners who I know are excited to hear what it is that the back and forth was, and we can make fun of Stephen Miller even more for the fact that he wouldn't leave a studio where everybody hated it.
Well, and basically just that the transcript came out this morning. They've got audio because, again, showing how much of an idiot Miller is. One of the things you learn on TV, even here with radio, is you got a mic on. Like, during the breaks, if you're talking, it could be recorded, and it probably is being recorded.
Yes.
So the entire conversation got recorded, and the transcript came out, and Miller was the biggest baby on the planet.
It's
really
hilarious.
Funny.
But we'll let you all know. We're going to head to a break, folks, but we will be back soon. Unprecedented podcast, also the Leslie Marshall Show. Been fun talking to you. We're going to be back at the bottom half of the hour.
Hey, everybody. John Aravosis with Cliff Schechter doing the Unprecedented podcast during the Leslie Marshall Show because Leslie is somewhere. Maybe
she's on TV.
She's on TV. I always forget that. Is she on TV like this very second?
I just know she's either on TV or waiting to go on TV basically all the time.
Oh, is she? 3 in the morning.
You've been there
Leslie's
before, John,
there.
And so have I. How much? What's the ratio of time you spend waiting to go on TV versus the time you're actually on?
It's
15 to 1.
Oh, it's terrible. You've got to. I always end up preparing like 3 hours before because you're preparing, then you're getting ready because you got to get dressed up, shower, do your hair, whatever.
Yep.
You get over there, you got to be there. Some shows want you there an hour early.
That's right.
So that
and you have a car they may send for you or you drive yourself. But either way, you have to go over there
for
an
your
hour
4
early
minute segment.
Go in, they put your makeup on, you sit in the green room forever, then you go back and sit in the green room for some more. It's nice if they've got a nice spread there, which they generally don't, but every once in a while. And, you know, some good drinks. So you do some, you have a nice Diet Coke or whatever it is you like. No beer, though, which is a shame.
Yes.
And then you're out there for all of 2 and a half minutes.
They should change that. You know, Fox News would be a lot more fun if they just let everybody drink, you know, just right on set.
I'd be willing to go back on in the future if they would do that.
Fox News?
Sean Hannity would just, you know, some truth serum. Just let it all out.
I got banned by him about a decade ago, so I can't go on his show.
I got banned on the network because of that jerk, I'm pretty sure, a couple years ago.
That's when he was against WikiLeaks, right? When he was not a fan of
WikiLeaks. When he was American? That was when he was pro-America.
That's
right. Yes. Yeah. Any position is easily changeable to the times.
Yes.
Yeah, I that back then I got banned from his show, but I did go on Fox and Friends for a bit. Don't ask why. And and then, you know, I used to go on the one I actually, what was his name? The dude who's on the Business Channel. I used to get along with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cavuto.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't agree with anything he said, but he at least like let me talk and was respectful. Right. And then I eventually was like, I don't know why I do this. But
no.
We digress.
We digress.
We've got a Stephen Miller transcript to
we do. So just to set this up again. So Stephen Miller goes on Jake Tapper. God knows why. We knew Trump wanted him there. Ends up just filibustering the whole time, spouting off, talking about how what a genius Donald Trump was. Jake finally called him on it, called him out and said, okay, look, you've obviously got an audience of one for this entire episode. You're just trying to save this for the president. And at this point, you're filibustering, you know, the segment's over. Jake then starts the next segment. Miller can be heard in the background continuing to talk while Jake has started an entirely other topic. And we then find out after the show that Miller had to be dragged from the set by security because he wouldn't leave. Well, this morning, the transcript, and this isn't a joke, this is the real transcript leaks, because Miller's such an idiot that apparently he didn't realize he's wearing a microphone on live TV. They're recording everything he's saying. So this is the transcript of what happened after they went to the commercial, okay? Stephen Miller. Jake, what I care about is having 3 minutes to tell the truth about the President of the United States. Jake, you had plenty of time. I let you give like a 3-minute filibuster at the very top. You gave me 2 minutes. You could be 2 minutes. Stephen, okay, thanks for coming in. You should be ashamed of yourself, honestly. Tapper, this is the reason they don't put you on TV, okay? This is the reason. Miller, no, Jake. You brought me on to talk about the Camp David summit, and you... Jake, first of all, I had plenty of questions about immigration, but you kept telling the same story over and over. Miller, because you're asking about the salacious... He was going to say the salacious book, right? Look, that's all you want to talk about, and you don't have any interest in talking about... Tapper, I had plenty of questions, but you kept on repeating yourself and kept on not letting me ask my questions. Miller, really, because you're calling me a factotum. What the hell is a factotum?
I don't know.
F-A-C-T-O-T-U-M. Mark, you want to Google this while we're talking? A factotum. Maybe it's like a scrotum made of facts. He's a factotum.
Well, if that's true, that sounds believable.
I kind of like that.
A factotum would be an employee who does all kinds of work. So I don't know if he used that right. A handyman, a jack of all trades.
I kind of like a fact
scrotum.
Calling
him a handyman?
Yeah, that's weird. I don't think he used
that right. I'm sticking with he's a scrotum made of facts.
Yeah, I like that better.
So,
I do too.
So Jake
is a scrotum made of alternative facts.
That's right. The FCC is okay with scrotum. Is that right, Mark?
Yep, scrotum all day and night.
Okay. Scrotum. Go ahead, Jonathan.
So it's just the end of it, but this is almost the best part. So, Jake, after you spent the entire interview attacking CNN and, okay, so don't act all offended, Miller. I'm not acting offended. I am offended. I'm offended by you, and I'm offended by your network.
Oh, how cute.
I'm sorry, if he isn't the biggest freaking girl on the planet, and for anybody offended out there, girl is gay slang spelled G-U-R-L, which means screaming homosexual.
I leave those like, comments to John.
Dear Lord, I mean, I'm not... Who does he think he is? Like, what's her name in Sunset Boulevard? I'm not acting offended. I am offended.
And by the way, folks, after that, all you hear in the transcript are the muffled screams and Steve was dragged off and beaten to...
Like an Asian American on United Airlines getting
dragged down the
aisle.
They turn the hose on.
Oh, God.
And he gets washed out, loses even a little bit more of his hair.
Oh, my God.
He needs some help.
No, he's disgusting. They're all disgusting. Now, the thing is, the serious part with this, Cliff, is I have a theory that Trump is just an idiot. Trump isn't working anything, but the Republicans are working the base because if you're a normal Republican and you've totally caved, and we're going to get into this, and maybe we could even get into it now, but where you're totally going to cave and support Trump anyway, even though you claimed that you thought he was a bad guy, you realize that Trump is so crazy that he's going to alienate the middle. No matter what you do, Trump will alienate the middle and piss off Democrats, which hurts Republicans in the congressional elections this fall. So what do you do? All you have left is to go after the base. There's nobody else to go after if you're a Republican because the middle is leaving the party. So you've got the Miller strategy and the Trump strategy and now the McConnell and Ryan strategy is go as crazy as possible because I bet you the Republican base loves that Miller did this, and Miller did it on purpose for the base.
Of course,
Trump.
He was. It's like Trump's Twitter feed. They're play acting for their people.
But it's now part of a larger strategy for 2018, I think, which is dangerous for us just because they're going to get even worse this year because they realize they've got to go all Nazi all the time now, as if they weren't.
Well, and again, I think they've determined they can't win other folks over. So what they're hoping to do is in their minds, there's a certain number of crazy people that don't show up in midterms, and they're hoping to turn them all out and find a way to undo the massive surge in young voters, African-American voters, women voters, and others that are voting overwhelmingly Democratic. Right. It may be their best strategy at this point, throwing all morality aside for a second, if we're just talking strategically, because they have offended the middle. The middle doesn't
what
tend
else
to
they
be
have?
Fans of child molesters as running for office, and they've fully supported one, and of crazy people tweeting crazy things all the time, and that's what Donald Trump is, and you know many other things they've done. So, I mean, in a way, it makes sense, but this is a broader theory of mine, too, which is, again, this isn't about liberal or conservative anymore. In a lot of ways, there are a lot of Democrats who represent what used to be called somewhat conservative. You know what I mean? Which I know now this will piss off some people on the left that I'm saying this, but there's no doubt that there's some people in the Democratic Party who, you know, don't want to take huge risks and they want social change and everything, but they respect our institutions and care about, you know, protecting what we've got and that kind of thing. The Republican Party, it's almost like at this point, it's sort of flypaper for antisocial disorder. I mean, think of the people we've just mentioned in this show. You know, they can't function in normal society and literally have a conversation with another human being without getting in a screaming fight with them. Donald Trump, Seb Gorka, you know, Stephen Miller. Don't forget, you know, David Clark. I mean, we can go on and on. Like, these are not normal people, any of them. You know, even the people that once were called moderates, Rudy Giuliani, it's the people with the most vitriolic personalities, Chris Christie, that were attracted to Trump. Like, these are just people that are not they're not in control of themselves. They're not emotionally in control. Now, I think we've got a caller. Do we want to bring in a caller, John? Do we have time?
Yeah. We got a couple minutes to the break.
All right, let's bring in. Are they still there? We're being told.
We had a guy who wanted to ask about Stephen Miller. We ought to, since we had him queued up, maybe start with him.
We've got someone who wants to ask actually about Nikki Haley, if I'm correct.
Right, but we had the Miller guy first. I feel bad that we let him sit.
Oh, okay. Miller guy?
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely no Miller guy, so.
Sorry about that. How about cool guy who wants to rip into Miller? Can we tell you that?
Yeah, this is Michael from New York City. Boogie down, bro.
Hey, Michael, how are you, buddy?
Okay. You know something? I am so upset as to what has transpired. Poor Jake Tapper. That is his show. And Mr. Stephen KKK shouldn't have been holding that particular show hostage, if you get my drift. You're there to answer questions. And yeah, you want to make a point, but pretty much the point he's making is zero credibility. You guys are on record, not saying you guys, I'm talking about Miller, Trump, and all those other skunks are on record terrorizing this nation, terrorizing people of color, and inciting violence, inciting hate. I mean, you cannot duck and dodge the fact that you guys have been on audio, on video, and his crazy-ass tweets to engage in all this stuff. I mean, I have a big problem when this guy, Miller, or even Trump for that matter, since he would be like Trump's spokesperson, he says he's calling football players and peaceful protesters to take a knee during the anthem or protest in any other peaceful way, losers, unpatriotic, and all those other negative things. But then when you look at some his white KKK nationalists in Charlottesville that engage in terrorism and in violence that resulted in the murder of a white female peaceful protester, and he calls them very fine people, that's a serious problem in my book.
Well, totally hypocritical. I mean, that's the thing. You know, their side can do whatever they want. Those are the rules. And the other side, it's funny because these very same people, Michael, were calling when there were the protests going on in Iran, they were supporting peaceful protests there. But I guess that doesn't apply to our democracy. They're bad here. They're only good in other places.
I'm thinking.
Well,
aren't
I think we've got a break.
Soon?
So let's let some of those people that pay the bills come on and tell you folks
and
some
pay.
Things. We'll be back.
And then we'll talk about Oprah afterwards.
Oprah, see?
Yep.
That's your kind of pop culture. No baseball.
Yep.
life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE.
Welcome back, folks. This is Cliff Schechter. I am here with John Aravosis. We are the Unprecedented Podcast. We're also filling in for Leslie Marshall, who is doing TV-like stuff for the next few months on Mondays. So you
TV-like? So not TV. Quite TV?
I think it is TV.
Okay. But, I was like trying to think, what's... She just sits in front of her phone and films herself. It's kind of like TV.
No, it's TV stuff. It's Fox News, man. That's TV-like.
Ooh, yikes. Yeah, that is like. Well, it's news-like.
Hey, she goes on. She's a good progressive voice that goes on and tells them the way it is on Fox. We'll take
is
it.
Is that like really, really smart?
It's like stable and like genius.
Yeah. I still can't get over the fact that Trump says that about being really smart. I mean, it's somebody had said, and it's true, it's what a dumb person thinks smart people talk like. Nobody who's half a, first of all, anybody who's smart, I don't know anybody in my life who's smart who has like a complex about it because nobody understands that I'm intelligent. If you're intelligent, usually it's the opposite problem.
The truth is that it's no different than what he does when it comes to virtually anything else. Almost all of them things where you know he's terrible at. I mean, he's also, you know, he's also like really, really stable, and he likes to brag about that. He also likes to brag about the fact that he's really wealthy, which makes you know he has less money than he should.
The hands, which now means the guy's got a problem in the sex department.
He's got a bigger button than Kim Jong-un, which means he doesn't. Yep. I mean, these are all pretty much facts of life, is that if you got it, you don't need to brag about it, because you know you got it.
But I just love that. Just the whole idea of somebody who's intelligent, who no one ever realized how smart they are by age 70. Dude, if you're 70 years old and no one figured out how smart you are, maybe it's you.
So speaking of that particular dumbass, Oprah. What do we got left, Johnny?
Oprah.
Because Oprah.
I know you thought.
We only have about 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes
here,
left.
Get out of here, do we? Oh, shit. You really want to punt Oprah. Oh, I know
don't
this.
Curse. Don't you curse.
I'm gonna make you talk about Oprah on Friday on our premium podcast if you don't let me do. But we can skip Oprah if you really want to.
No. I like Oprah. Let's talk about her.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm already getting like people on Twitter going back and forth. The discussion is CNN. I think had a story coming out saying that two sources close to Oprah say that she's actually considering running for president.
And I'd read that in the past too. I think she's been considering this for a while now.
Yeah.
I mean, look. Do you mind if I jump in here? Is that cool?
Jump.
I mean, I want to look at this from a political perspective, okay? Not from a hate perspective of, because, you know, you get some of the usual types who love, like, oh, you just want a star to run and you don't care what her policies are. And you get some of that. Usually it's from the Jill Stein crank brigade, you know, and people like that. Well, here's the thing about Oprah, which is, I wish we could put the genie back in the bottle and say we're not going to have celebrity presidents or celebrity senators or whatever. That train has left the station, and it seems pretty much like there's going to be some celebrities, and there's a lot of them who think they should be president. I mean, The Rock is thinking about running, for example, you know. So
who's the other weird one with the hair, the conservative, that slime ball?
He was going to run for Senate in Michigan.
Didn't he have
What's
a rock name? It wasn't Chris Rock. It's some other.
It was
Kid Rock.
Yeah, because Chris Rock we like. Kid Rock, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the scummy, sleazy guy that generally looks like he just rolled out of bed and hasn't showered in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He decided not to run. He just did that to sell more records.
Right.
But there'll be some others who think they can do this, and some of them will do it correctly. And we would be incorrect if we didn't point out that Ronald Reagan was a celebrity. Fred Thompson was a celebrity. Hell, Gopher from Love Boat was a congressman for a while. Sonny Bono.
Yeah.
Notice that most of these people are Republicans, by the way. Bill Bradley, though, on the Democratic side, NBA player, ended up almost, you know, being a nominee for president and was a very good senator. So, look, this is not like it's a completely new thing, but in the age we're in, where an age of celebrity and where you have access to a lot more of TV and radio and social media, if you are a celebrity, people who even don't watch what you produce, you know, buy your music or watch your show, still know who you are. And that's, you know, that has changed things. So to believe that someone like Oprah is not going to have an advantage, she has universal name recognition. I swear to you, in the time that I was alive, I maybe came across 3 or 4 Oprah shows where I was flipping through the channels, something was on and that seemed interesting, and I stopped to watch it. But I still know exactly who she is. I know everything about her. I know where she's from. She is incredibly wealthy, I think worth a couple billion dollars, and actually really worth that much, not making it up like Donald Trump. So to think that that's not somebody who starts with enormous advantages. Oh, and by the way, she's an African-American woman. And we're all sort of sitting here saying we'd like to have our first woman president. And we had an African-American president that worked out pretty well as a Democrat. So realistically, yeah, she should be legitimately considered. Do I worry that she doesn't have experience? I don't worry she's going to come in like Donald Trump and be a complete disaster and not care. But I do worry that she's going to come in and, what, you know, she better bring in a chief of staff that serves almost like a prime minister who knows how to work the Hill and knows things that she doesn't know if she were elected, because you don't just show up and your celebrity just take care of everything.
Well, and can I jump in on that point? Because
sure.
One of the, I guess, you already said the positive, which I'm very pro Oprah running. So let's just get that out there. Everything Cliff said. The one concern I have is the political experience, and I'm going to be polemical. I have the same concern about Bernie Sanders, and I had the same concern about Barack Obama, who I supported in the primaries the first time around. So I was a big Obama supporter. But Obama's first couple of years suffered from not really knowing how Washington worked. Yes, he'd been a senator for several years, but he
not
really
didn't... several years, like 3 years before he started running
but
for president.
But that's it. But that's it, though, which isn't a very long time in terms of understanding how to make Washington work.
Go ahead.
Bernie's been here a long time. I don't want to reopen the Bernie discussion, but I've had concerns that Bernie has never been a leader of coalitions in Congress, getting huge legislation passed by bringing both parties together, things like that, right? So I worry about that, but I worry about that with her too. My point is, I think she can get elected. I think she's got the charisma that is hugely important.
She's
Obama.
Natural in front of
she's
a TV
Obama.
Camera.
But once she gets elected, can she deal with the machinations? Because these guys who know how to stop things up are going to try to screw her.
Here's what we're saying, really. She has to be smart enough, and I think she is. I hope she is. And again, I'm not saying I'm coming out for Oprah. If she wants to run, great. I hope other great people run too. But what she needs to be smart enough to know what she doesn't know and be willing to hire the types of people that do know that so that she can get off on the right foot and, you know, get off with in the right direction, and she doesn't waste time trying to figure out the place, because she's got somebody who's smart and knows what they're doing and is willing to apply the hammer as her chief of staff and others around her. But I think we are done. Thank you, folks. This has been the Unprecedented Podcast. Cliff Schechter, John Aravosis, also Leslie Marshall Show. We're going to get us, John, at Patreon. Go to Patreon, sign up for
Patreon.com/unprecedented podcast, or go to iTunes, unprecedentedpodcast.com.
Take care, folks.